Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. A little piggyback off the 1 million voters that have recently become Republicans. How many of them are becoming Republicans to influence Republican primaries? Also, what does the Republican Party stand for? Do you think people are gravitating towards the Republican Party because of how good the Republican Party is or because of how negative Democrats are and how terrible they are, I should say? Email me your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Come to SAS, our Student Action Summit in Tampa, Florida, tpusa.com/SAS. That is tpusa.com/SAS. Biggest speakers in the movement, Turning Point Action, will have Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump there. Kayleigh McEnany, Ted Cruz, Laura Ingraham, Josh Hawley, Greg Gutfeld, Donald Trump Jr., and more, tpusa.com/SAS. You can always email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, or support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. That is charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter or start a college chapter today at tpusa.com. Come to our Student Action Summit again, tpusa.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. You see, we talked yesterday about the 1 million voters switching to the Republican Party in a warning sign for Democrats. But I do not believe this is because of the brilliance of the Republican Party. I believe this is because of how terrible the left is. Now, the left is terrible for the time being. I actually think we're going to have a generation of Democrats digging a deeper and deeper hole of policies and ideas and a worldview that is deeply unpopular because it runs against nature. You see, we're going to celebrate July 4th coming up. Actually, on Friday, we're going to do our July 4th show in anticipation of July 4th next week because we're taking off on Independence Day. And when we do our July 4th show on Friday, as we talk about the Continental Congress and we talk about what exactly was being debated when the Declaration was being written, primarily by Thomas Jefferson, there's this beautiful line about the laws of nature and nature's God. We talk about that a lot on this program. So nature comes from the Latin word, which means birth, comes out of the earth, things that do not change. You see, inherent in being a conservative is you believe there is a certain natural law. You believe there's laws of economics. You believe that there's laws of thermodynamics. There's laws of physics. There's laws of politics. And there's laws of nature. And so a conservative generally recognizes that men cannot become pregnant, generally recognizes that life is sacred. And so you kind of live within the framework of what we would call reality, but that is also articulated as the natural law. You see, as the left continues to wage war against nature, it just doesn't seem to make any sense. So we call this common sense. The phrase common sense actually can be best described as prudence, otherwise known as prudentia in the Greek, where people say, this doesn't really resonate with me. And the kind of bumper sticker I see quite often here in Arizona is, common sense 2022. Common sense isn't that common after all. It's kind of a very typical meme that you'll see, especially for people over the age of 50, because they believe what used to be considered to be agreed upon truths are now all kind of being put into question. For example, in math classes across America, they're teaching young children that math and science are symptoms of a white supremacist construct. And so now we see this 1 million voters switching to the Republican Party, something we talked about yesterday. But I thought about this kind of in the last 24 hours. I don't want Republicans to be preemptively celebrating this. This is not because of the compelling, persuasive message of the Republican Party. In fact, I think it's the opposite. I think people are reluctantly and begrudgingly becoming Republicans. Now, if Republicans were more like Ron DeSantis, who are clear and precise in what they believe and why they believe it, were bold in their action and stand up against Washington, D.C. and the entrenched corporate interests. And even though people might not agree with everything that Republicans are saying, they might respect that they're doing something and they can explain why they believe it. You see, Ron DeSantis has really upended and challenged so much of the entrenched political orthodoxy on the right. And we're still seeing this today. You know, there's primaries happening all across the country today. In Illinois, there's primaries happening in Arizona. I'm sorry, not Arizona. There's primaries happening in Mississippi, runoff in Mississippi, South Carolina, New York, and Utah. And people always ask the question, they say, Charlie, do we support candidates that can win a general, or do we support candidates that sound good in the primary? And Ron DeSantis basically says both, is that you can be bold and conservative on every single issue and still win a general. Now, some of it is based on presentation. Some of it's based on style and not on substance. Your ability to articulate certain issues and matters, your ability to fight back against the lies of the media. You see, if the media feels as if you're going to call them out, they're less likely to attack you with kind of their drive-by smear tactics, as the great Rush Limbaugh would call it, the drive-bys. You see, what we have bubbling up in America right now is a massive political movement based solely and simply on opposition, which is great. I oppose giving chemical castration drugs to 10-year-olds. I oppose puberty blockers for 12-year-olds. I oppose surgical intervention for a 15-year-old that might be having some sort of gender crisis. I oppose open borders. I oppose high taxes. I oppose inflation, and you do too. But the Republican Party needs to get serious about what do we actually stand for? What are the solutions that we are putting forward? For example, how are we going to make it easier for people to have children in America? This needs to be a pro-life issue, whereas we're talking about pro-life right now. The number one reason why people do not have children is because it's too expensive. Now, is the Republican Party position, well, that's fine. You know, do whatever you want to do. Are we going to be serious that corporate America is actually rigged against the American family, not in favor of the American family? And that begs another question, which is, why is it that all these companies are paying for abortions for their workers? Well, a vast majority of college graduates are women. A vast majority of corporate professionals are now women. And a vast majority of the most loyal, hardworking people in the biggest companies are women. Well, having children can be a mass disturbance to that. Having children for a corporate America is a danger sign. As Tucker Carlson beautifully put it last evening in his monologue, a woman is less likely to quickly respond to an email about some sort of internal issue happening in the company if she has to put her kids down to sleep, or she has to feed them dinner, or pick them up at soccer practice. Moms do not make as good of corporate loyalists as Goldman Sachs, Nike, or Netflix would like them to be. Now, I still think they make phenomenal workers, but they need to be moms first. That's what actually matters for your society and your civilization. Now, one of the kind of circumstances we're seeing is a generation of millennial women that are in their late 20s and early 30s that have pursued their career first. I'll get married later. I'll find a boyfriend or a husband later in life, and that very well might work out for you. Who am I to say differently? But I am one to look at generational trends and trajectory. That largely, as more of a generalization than a rule, that has created a deeply unhappy demographic of hyper-successful corporate women, of women that are in corporate life, I should say, but they're deeply unhappy. Why? It's because they've been told to just get the next paycheck, stick with cats and dogs, get an above average apartment, live in a very expensive urban center and metropolis, focus on your career at all costs, and do not, whatever it takes, get married or have children. Now, some women find fulfillment in that for the rest of their life. Fine. Most do not. And so make no mistake that corporate America that is pushing forward these, I'm going to pay you to go get an abortion. I'm going to pay you if I'm Amazon to go out of state, or even Tesla, deeply disappointed to hear that from Elon Musk's company. I'm going to pay you to go out of the state to go basically remain loyal to our company. It's not about abortion. It's about profit margins. Will the Republican Party speak out against that? So this is something I want to continue to explore with you because it's something that I've been thinking deeply about, which is, are Republicans starting to benefit politically because of the Democrats or because of the Republicans? Because this memo, wow, Republican Party's doing so well. The Republican Party's celebrating. We're finally doing stuff terrific. No, you're not. You simply exist and you aren't called Democrats. That's why people are registering to be Republicans. They're doing so begrudgingly and reluctantly. They're not doing it because all of a sudden you spent $56 billion and sent it to Zelensky. They're not doing it because you've signed on to red flag laws. Now, if Republicans got serious about what they believe and why they believe it, it would be a political victory the likes of which we've never seen. For a couple years now, people have been setting up a contest between crypto and gold. But that's like comparing a truck with an SUV. Both carry stuff and travel from A to B, but they do different jobs. Gold's job is to keep the value of your money safe and preserve its value. And since Ukraine, the oil, and the inflation crisis, it's done a brilliant job compared to stocks and other investments. So if you're worried about what's going on right now, who isn't? Just talk to an expert at Noble Gold about precious metal IRAs for your retirement. They'll put you straight on your options and hold your hand through the whole setup process. And this month, for any qualified IRA, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. So call 877-646-5347 now to find out more or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. And this is something I also want to mention about the kind of the Democrats and the Republicans switching over. This is really, yeah, I got an email here from actually one of our listeners, which is, Charlie, are you not sure this is people that are switching parties just to be able to vote in closed primaries? That's a very smart point. Very smart. I don't think so. I think that actually might be a component of this, though. I totally agree. And that's something that as you try to make selections in these primary races, especially this summer, it's kind of the summer of primaries. Some very important primaries are coming up in Arizona. We have primaries coming up in Florida. Today is Illinois. Pulling for my friend, old friend, known him for a decade, Gary Rabine, running for governor in Illinois. Really hope he does well tonight. There's a lot of great, important primaries happening out there right now. But we just have to recognize and kind of show, kind of ask, are Democrats also trying to do what Rush Limbaugh called, Operation Warp Speed, that's for sure, where people switch parties to try to influence their primaries. We know this is happening in Wyoming, by the way. We know that Democrats are being courted to try and register in Wyoming. We also know this is happening in Arizona. Tyler Boyer, who runs Turning Point Action for us, also a committeeman for the RNC, Operation Chaos, thank you, Connor, where Tyler said that he has evidence that in Arizona that people are switching parties just to be able to influence the upcoming Arizona election. And this is another one we got here. Be cautious about the email we got, freedom@charliekirk.com. Be cautious about the 1 million that registered as Republicans from Democrats. I truly believe a large portion have moved to support RINOs. So I think, Ken, thank you for the note. I agree with you. I don't know the fraction. Here's why. Based on the grassroots work that we're doing at Turning Point Action, based on the travels that I'm doing and the emails I get from all of you, I do believe there is a legitimate defection from the Democrat Party outside of trying to influence Republican primaries. But this is something to keep in mind, and something to note, that as we approach a lot of these primaries, will the primary kind of universe look different now that the Republican Party is expanding? Does it mean the Republican Party is going to be more conservative? Or does that also mean that you're going to have more moderates in the Republican Party that might be looking for people more socially liberal? We don't know the answer to that, actually. Tonight will be very, very telling, though. There's some again, the primaries in Illinois are going to be very, very telling. The primaries coming up in South Carolina, the runoff in South Carolina and Mississippi. The primaries in New York are going to be very telling. There's a very hotly contested gubernatorial race in New York with Lee Zeldin and Andrew Giuliani. I've endorsed Lee Zeldin. I think very highly of Andrew. I've known Andrew. I worked with him in the White House. But I think Lee will make a great governor of New York. It's kind of tough to choose when you know two people running. And so that's the question, which is how much of this transfer of people transferring over from Republicans to Democrats, I'm sorry, from Democrats to Republicans are actually people that are going to try to influence our own primaries. I'm a big believer in closed primaries. With that being said, though, closed primaries, it can still allow people to change their voter registration ahead of time. I'm a big believer in closed primaries. But I just want to reiterate this point, which is Republicans should not be popping the champagne and celebrating as if we've won everything. First of all, we haven't totally fixed our elections. That's a separate issue. But more specifically, what do Republicans even stand for? You see, moderate and establishment Republicans love it when they never have to tell you what they stand for. They just tell you what they oppose. A lot of establishment Republicans get very nervous when they have to tell you what they're actually fighting for. And I got to give Bernie Sanders and AOC credit. They're very good at telling you what they stand for. It's varieties of free stuff. It's dreadful and terrible for the country, but they're able to motivate specifically younger voters and voters on the fringe to go vote for something. We're getting a lot of emails here, freedom@charliekirk.com, about this. People say, basically, Charlie, people are switching not because of the brilliance of the Republican Party or the compelling message, but because of the negatives of the Democrats. I think it's time for a new agenda for the Republican Party. Part of it can be defensive measures, but I believe we need to start to tell people what we believe and why we believe it. What does America look like under Republican rule? Right now, we have one example. We want America to look more like Florida and less like California and New York. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. How long can we endure this skyrocketing inflation? Millions of Americans can no longer afford to put food on the table and gas in their tanks. If you're feeling the pain, here's how to fight back. Get yourself some long-term emergency food from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest preparedness and self-reliance company with millions of happy prepared customers and more than 55,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Right now, save $150 on their three-month emergency food kit by going to preparewithkirk.com. This kit contains breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks. That's over 2,000 calories per day for 3 solid months. Get one kit for each person in your family. There's no limit to how many you can order. Make sure you have their food stocked for when you need it. Get it today, preparewithkirk.com. I have stashes of this stuff. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. Our team at Turning Point USA loves it. Everyone I know is ordering it. You'll save $150 and get free shipping as well. Preparewithkirk.com. Preparewithkirk.com. The wonderful James O'Keefe, he's just terrific. It's actually James O'Keefe's birthday, so everybody wish James O'Keefe a happy birthday. He's 10 years older than I am. So James O'Keefe at Project Veritas discovered that there was a scheme in South Carolina to infiltrate and to try to run Democrats as Republicans. And this is something that happens in a lot of states. This is one of the reasons why, and my theory is still being developed here, it's one of the reasons why I believe that if you are in a deep red state, you actually get more moderate Republicans than if you're in a 50-50 state. It's my current theory, and I'm not saying it's bulletproof, but I have said for quite some time that Mississippi, Alabama, Wyoming, North and South Dakota, South Carolina are all more Republican based on how the voters believe than Florida is. And yet in Florida, they have to compete for every single vote. And if you're a Democrat in Florida, if you're a Democrat, you run as a Democrat. In Mississippi or Wyoming, if you're a Democrat, you run as a Republican. And so in Florida, they have some problems of people infiltrating the Republican Party. I know that's happening in Pinellas County and Sarasota for sure. I get messages from people there. And that's actually the only concern, that if Florida becomes too Republican, the Democrats are just going to pretend to be Republicans to try to run into the party. For example, Nancy Mace is a Democrat, period. End of story. She calls herself a Republican. She's a Democrat. But she runs as a Republican because she otherwise would not be able to win in that district or obviously in a primary. And guess what? James O'Keefe exposed this. Play cut 55.
We need some secret sleepers. Like, we need them to run as the other side, even though they're for our side. And we need them to win.
Right.
We need people to run as Republicans in these local elections. And this is the only way you're going to change the dynamics in South Carolina. We can battle them in public all day. As long as we know we're working for the same goal, for me, I feel like, y'all, we need sleepers. When we get enough of us in there, we can wreak havoc for real from the inside out. Then we can flip some from the inside out. We got to take back some of these seats, especially in these local elections. We need a group of sleepers. And I still got to struggle to raise money for my campaign. Where the fuck is my black people with money? I don't care about no dope money. Give me that dope boy money. Where the fuck is dope? Where the duffel bag boys?
Now, if I said that, that would be considered to be very racist. Where she says, where's my black people money at? Why are you guys spending money on dope? Give me money. See, I don't believe that because I'm not racist, but she definitely is. She says, why are all the black people buying dope? Like, that's a really racist thing to say. So you might wonder why we have that phone call. Well, Project Veritas Action, their 501c4, they were able to get this tape because she was just kind of chatting it up with a convict. And when you call a convict, all of those calls are recorded and open to FOIA. And basically what she's saying is we need sleepers. We need a sleeper strategy to get within the South Carolina Republican Party and then be able to blow it up once we get there. I believe they have done this in states like Georgia, Alabama. I believe they've done this in states like Wyoming. I believe the redder the state, at times it opens up the opportunity for people to be able to infiltrate the party and to be able to get Democrats disguised as Republicans to come into the inner circle. And so as we see this shift, more than 1 million voters switch to Republican Party and warning for Dems. I just want to reiterate this point. We need closed primaries. We have them in a lot of these states, and they try to game them through party switching, through making it you have to switch the party. But let's not rest on our laurels yet. So I want to ask the question, which is, why does the left hate Clarence Thomas so much? Clarence Thomas is one of the most extraordinary stories ever. Clarence Thomas grew up in total poverty and rose to the United States Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas is a black man that most black youth are not even exposed to. Clarence Thomas is an articulate, charismatic leader. Now, he doesn't speak much on the U.S. Supreme Court, and there's a reason for that. You can learn about that in the book, Created Equal, that I still have on our desk here. But Clarence Thomas receives more backlash than any member of the Supreme Court in recent memory. Why is that? Why is it that Clarence Thomas gets more of the focus and the antagonism and the venom from the media and from the left than Neil Gorsuch? You know, you notice no one's attacking Neil Gorsuch right now. Neil Gorsuch is probably fly fishing in Colorado, which I know on good authority that's what he enjoys doing because he mentioned it in his Senate confirmation hearing. They're attacking Kavanaugh a little bit because he was the swing vote. They just have decided not to attack Amy Coney Barrett. They tried that in the confirmation hearing and she just ran circles around them. But why Clarence Thomas? Because they must make an example out of Clarence Thomas. The same Democrat Party that calls convicts on the phone and says, where's my black money at? Why are blacks spending all this money on dope? Very racist thing to say. Is the same Democrat Party that says, we can't allow people like Clarence Thomas to think freely. You see, the Democrat Party used to own black people. Then they would control black people. And now they still want to control black people. The same type of command and control impulse in the Democrat Party that owned slaves and then controlled plantations wants to continue to control black people's thoughts, their ideology, and their philosophy. Clarence Thomas doesn't play this game at all. Clarence Thomas doesn't care. And that's what drives them crazy. White liberals like Hillary Clinton go on and on and on about how Clarence Thomas is someone who has resentment, grievance, and anger. Hillary Clinton is saying this. Because, of course, when I think of Hillary Clinton, I think of joy overfloweth and hope and optimism, peace and tranquility. When I think of Hillary Clinton, I think of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what I think of when I think of Hillary Clinton. Play cut 44.
I went to law school with him. Mm-hmm. He's been a person of grievance for as long as I've known him. Resentment, grievance, anger. And the thing that there's so many things about it that are deeply distressing. But women are going to die, Gail. Women will die.
Oh, yeah, she says it with a smile on her face. Yes, I have to go get a lecture about grievance and resentment from Hillary Clinton. Yes, if only Clarence Thomas was at peace with himself as much as I am. I'm a very happy person. Don't you know that? Hillary Clinton found lost in the woods, never becoming president. And by the way, don't be surprised if Hillary runs for president this next cycle. Do not be surprised if you see a Hillary versus Gavin Newsom deal. I think Joe Biden is being put out to pasture. We're seeing that in a variety of different things. People say Michelle Obama might run. That's a separate issue. So why do they hate Clarence Thomas so much? They hate Clarence Thomas. And by the way, you could kind of tell in her, she wanted to say something. She said, oh yeah, there's things very distressing. You know what distresses Hillary Clinton the most about Clarence Thomas? Is that Clarence Thomas is a free-thinking black person. That drives Democrats insane. They do not believe that black people should be able to have independent thoughts. They don't. They want to control them. I wish it wasn't that simple. I wish that they thought that anybody could think anything based not on the color of their skin, but the content of their character. Don't believe me? Look at Trevor Noah, who used to be a funny man on television, calling Clarence Thomas Justice QAnon. Play cut 51.
And if the overturning wasn't bad enough, Justice QAnon himself, Clarence Thomas, wrote that he wants the court to reconsider the rights to gay marriage, gay sex, and contraception. Yeah, imagine that. This dude is so extreme. He's talking about banning rights I didn't even realize could be banned. He's going to be reading the newspaper like, Justice Thomas wants to ban the right to engage in nipple play? What? Like, at some point, you're not even a judge anymore. You're just a cock block in a fancy robe. That's all you are.
Nothing says moral clarity like being lectured about American values from a South African funny man. I think he's from Johannesburg, if I remember correctly, because that's not quite a British accent. That dialect is more Afrikaans than it is British. Nothing wrong with that, obviously. Welcome to America. Just don't tell me how to live anyway. So why does Trevor Noah and Hillary Clinton and the activist press, why do they hate him so much? Because Clarence Thomas, if Clarence Thomas went unchecked, he could actually start a revival in black thinking in this country. Where all of a sudden blacks say, you know what? I don't have to be a member of the Democrat Party. As the great Candace Owens has been leading through her organization, Blexit, the black exit from the Democrat Party, the black exit from the American left. This is why they must do everything they possibly can to crush these people. And by the way, the fact that that young black kids or any people do not have Clarence Thomas or Thomas Sowell as everyday dinner table conversation is a national tragedy. I wish to change that. Thomas Sowell and Clarence Thomas are two heroes. Their moral clarity, their wisdom, their intelligence, and yet they're the people that white liberals hate the most. Why? Because they could actually get America to care less about skin color and more about values and ideas. That kind of America is an existential threat to the American left. God bless Clarence Thomas. Flashback, during Clarence Thomas's confirmation hearing, Joe Biden was talking down to Clarence Thomas, and then Clarence Thomas explains in the documentary that this is just a way to get him to talk about abortion. But isn't it interesting? As our entire national conversation was hyper-racialized for the last couple years, and it was all about black voices matter, black lives matter, that white people need to sit down and shut up, the minute that a member of the Supreme Court, at the time, the only black member of the Supreme Court, issues an opinion they don't like, they go into full character assassination mode. Maybe it's not actually about black voices. Maybe it's about black voices you like. And what we're seeing is a continuation of the same sort of tactics, strategies that Joe Biden used back in the confirmation hearing. Because look, what's happening right now, and they have to try to get ahead of it, is they are seeing a massive realignment of Hispanics and blacks that are defecting from the Democrat Party. Now, it's not happening at the same rate with black voters as it is with Hispanic voters. With Hispanic voters, it is out of control. So the Democrat Party needs to hold on to the one demographic that they still dominate, which is upper middle class, white, educated women, liberal voters, and the white guilt and the hyper racism that white, educated, liberal voters have towards black people, and to keep black people continually controlled by the Democrat Party. Play cut 60.
But it is a fundamental question that is going to be almost impossible for non-lawyers to grasp in an exchange. But you know, and I know, it is a big, big deal. And in conclusion,
one of the things you do in hearing is you have to sit there and look attentively at people you know have no idea what they're talking about. And it was fine. I understood what he was trying to do. I didn't really appreciate it. Natural law was nothing more than a way of tricking me into talking about abortion. Since many Catholic moral philosophers saw the two things as intimately related.
That's one of the great quotes ever. While Joe Biden is yammering on and on and on, and Clarence Thomas says, unfortunately, in his deep, beautiful voice, unfortunately, when you have to be confirmed by the Senate, you have to listen to people that have no idea what they're talking about. And Joe Biden goes on and on and on and on and on. Joe Biden was the one that tried and attempted the high-tech lynching of Clarence Thomas due to the baseless, slanderous attacks from Anita Hill. This is why, you want to know why they hate Clarence Thomas? If Clarence Thomas was like John Roberts, he would get beautiful pieces in the New York Times. No, they hate Justice Thomas because he's willing to say, regardless of the fury, regardless of the hurricane, North is still North. Play cut 54.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane, or you can be on a calm day, North is still North. You could be in a thunderstorm, North is still North. People can yell at you, North is still North. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
Amen. Doesn't matter if they call him all the worst words. Doesn't matter that a guy, a pollster in Canada, called him the N-word on Twitter. Doesn't matter that the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, says F Clarence Thomas. It doesn't matter. What matters is that North is still North. Clarence Thomas has been attacked by every direction imaginable. But I hope that all of you take a moment to appreciate and to thank God and thank everyone who's played a role in the fact that we now have a court that respects and understands the United States Constitution. Because regardless of what everyone else says around you, is that we need to have a burning focus and desire to do the right thing, regardless of what the postmodernists say, regardless of what these racial arsonists say. That's why they hate Clarence Thomas, because he does not give an inch to their demands. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.